Scripture reading this morning is from Exodus 20, verse 12, in the New Revised Standard Version. You may follow along in your Bible, the Bible app, or on page 58 in the Pew Bible. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word.
Bob, thank you for reading Scripture this morning. Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome all of you to our worship service. It's funny, you're in here. I see some of you fanning because of the radiators are putting out heat. This morning it was 65 degrees in here in the early service, and people were huddled in together and trying to survive the cold. So, you know, it's one of these weird Sundays where the weather, you're not sure what's going on. So just make do. If you get a little hot, feel free to get up and get some water or whatever. It won't bother me at all. So glad that you're here this morning. For those of you that aren't regular attenders here, I want to welcome you. You're jumping in on the middle of a teaching series that I'm doing called Write These on Your Heart. And we're looking at the Ten Commandments, and we're looking at where they're located in the book of Exodus, and we're working our way through it. And so today, Bob just got up and read for us the fifth commandment. So we've already covered four the previous 4 weeks, and I'd like to invite you to come back and join us every other Sunday as we work our way through the rest of them. You may learn some new things. You might have some reinforced ideas about what these commands mean. But I want you to know, today we're going to focus on the fifth commandment, on God and family. We're going to look at family and God's purpose and design for family. But I'd like us to start by realizing that the commandment today, commandment number five, is the first of the Ten Commandments that talk about how we relate to each other. The first four commandments all talked about our relationship with God. And I've asked all of you here at Eden to memorize these commandments, to make it your goal to learn them and to know them. So how many of you, have you sat through this teaching for the last 4 weeks? Do you feel comfortable with your knowledge of the Ten Commandments? I want to put up on the screen a slide that, just as a reminder, what were the Ten Commandments? You shall have no other gods before me. God is first. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. That is, God defines who he is, not us. We can't paint pictures, make statues, and say this is God. That's idolatry. That's wrong. We have to let God show us who he is through his own revelation. The third commandment, you shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord. We saw that we are to honor God with our mouth. We're to practice restraint in the way that we speak about God. And we're not flippant in the way that we honor God as our maker. And then last Sunday, we looked at remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. How God sets a rhythm, the seven-day week that we have on our calendars, it comes from God. You work six days, and there's a day of rest. And that's a cycle God created for us. And we keep that as a way of honoring God and showing that he is the Lord of our time, our schedule. Well, now we turn our attention again to this new commandment, and we focus on the very first commandment that we get instructions from God for how we are to relate to other people. And I'd like us to look at that commandment today. It's not very long. It's only six words. But I believe there's a lot in those six words, and I'd like to unpack that with you this morning to reflect on why this commandment is the first of the human relationship commandments. And I'd like to do that this morning by focusing on the priority of this commandment. I have the scripture of the commandment up on the screen. It's honor your father and your mother. That's the commandment. So that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So this commandment, honor your father and your mother. I want to talk about why this commandment is in the priority commandments of the Ten Commandments. So just so you know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there are 613 different commandments in there, where God has different instructions for his people. Some have to do with what you eat. Some have to do with how you dress. Some have to do with who you can marry and not marry, all those kind of things. But in the top 10, the 10 commandments, this is the priority commandment when it comes to human relationships. And I'd like us to think about this for a moment. This is a command, but it's not a command to parents on how they are to treat their kids. This is not a command for how we are to relate to our neighbors and the citizens of our country. This command is not a command on how husbands are to treat their wives or wives are to treat their husbands. Even though all those things are very important and very noble, and God has something to say about that. But this command is not even a command for how we are to relate to our brothers and sisters and our family. This is a command of how children are to relate to their parents. And I think it's very important, you know, why this commandment? Why not another commandment? This commandment is one of the top 10. It's in the priority for a very good reason. One, it's a universal command. Not all of us get married, so not all of us have spouses to worry about loving and treating properly. Not all of us become parents and have children of our own. Not all of us are in any kind of relationship where we have siblings. We might be the only child, so we don't have brothers and sisters to deal with, to contend with, and to learn to love. But we all have parents. It's a universal thing that every single one of you in this room has a mother and a father. Now, some of you know who your mother and your father is. Some of you don't know who your dad is or whatever. That's beside the point. But we all universally have parents. And so, therefore, I think it's fitting that this first commandment for how we relate to people is a call for how we relate to our parents. Now, in a moment, we're going to get into this and what are the specifics of this. Obviously, this command means one thing for a 6-year-old, and it means another thing for a 60-year-old. But it is a universal command that has claim on all of our life. And as I was thinking about this command, it makes sense that this would be the first one for people. Because, think about your parents for a moment. You owe your very existence to your parents. Whether you were planned or a happy accident, you are here because of a mother and a father. God used them to bring your life into existence. You are alive because of parents. So just think about that for a moment. And not only that, these are the first humans that you bond with as a baby coming into the world. The bond between a baby and its mother happens before the baby's even born. It hears mom's voice as it's living in the womb. The baby builds this rapport with mom, hears the heartbeat, and begins to know who mom is. And then after birth, of course, there's incredible bonding between a mother and a child. Doctors have even determined that a baby can recognize the smell of its own mother's breast milk. Fascinating that God has woven into creation this concept of bonding between a mother and her baby. But you know, I'm not a mother, but I have a great bond with my kids because when you're a father and those kids come out and they're yours, there is such an attachment that you have to them where you take up their concerns and you love them and you start working and investing your life, not for yourself, not for your own happiness, but for your children. So it makes sense, right? A child, a baby that's born, mom and dad are the first people that they bond with. So it makes sense that this would be a commandment that's appropriate. Our parents are the people we share a deep, deep connection with. And not only that, think about all parents do. We depend on them for everything. When we're little, our parents are the ones that protect us from sticking the screwdriver into the electric socket. They smack it out of our hands and say no. Our parents are the ones that keep us from touching the hot stove. Our parents are always holding our hand when we cross the road because they know and see danger and they're there. We depend on them for that. And then on top of that, think of all that moms and dads provide for their children. Let me give you all some context here. I just wanted to do some simple math. I know it's not absolutely accurate, but if you are 15 years old and you, of course, living with your parents and you have three meals a day, 365 days a year, that's 16,425 meals by the time you hit 15. Now, most of us, as we grow up in our parents' home, mom and dad are responsible for most of those meals, all of those meals. Usually, they may not cook all of them, but if they give us lunch money and we go out to school and have lunch at school, we're having that because our parents have provided it for us. Imagine that, 16,425 meals by the time you're 15, that most of those are because of your parents. Have you ever stopped to think about that, ladies? If you're the primary cook in your home, how many thousand meals you've prepared for your kids over life? Maybe they should owe you a little bit of something, right? Maybe a thank you every now and then. Well, that's what I'm trying to get at here. Now imagine this. Now granted, when you have little babies, they always mess up their outfits, they spit up, they have poopy accidents, and you're washing all the time. But even when kids grow up and they're potty trained, laundry is still need to be done. So let's do some math here. Let's imagine that in your house, you have to do three loads of laundry a week, 52 weeks for 15 years. That's still 2,340 loads of laundry. And most of us children, our parents are doing that till we get old enough to be taught how to do it ourselves. That's a lot of work, a lot of effort that moms and dads do for their children. And I throw those numbers out just to help you see it makes a lot of sense that God would have something in there in the top 10 about how we relate to our parents, because our parents have done so much for us from the moment we were first arriving in the world until we grow up enough to where they can release us to be an independent person. But why did this rule make the top 10? Is it just because we owe mom and dad a lot? I think there's more to it. And I'd like to dig into this command and talk to you not just about the priority of it, but the purpose of it. And the purpose of this is found in the promise that's made here. The command is honor your father and your mother, and here's the promise, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. God is offering a good life to a person who honors their father and mother. What is all that about? Well, let's talk about that. That has to do with the purpose of our parents. What is the purpose of our parents? Do you know what's interesting? If you were to go and read the Hebrew language here that this scripture comes from, it literally says, regard your father and your mother as heavy. Now, that could get you in trouble, kids. Mom, you're awfully heavy today. You might not live to your next birthday if you say that too often. But that's not what the writer of here is talking about. In Hebrew, this idea of regarding your father and mother as heavy doesn't mean you think they're overweight. And even in our own language, there's a sense that we might understand that. We talk about people having weight when we're not talking about how many pounds they are when they step on the scale. Sometimes a person will come into a room and they'll take over the room, and we might say they just came in here and they threw their weight around. Now, we don't mean by that they go up and they bump people with their belly and knock them out of the way, you know. What we mean is there's some heaviness, there's some authority to who they are, and they are taking over the room with it. And that's what's going on here. To regard your father and mother as heavy doesn't mean anything about their weight, how much they weigh on a scale. It has to do with they have authority over your life as a child. Think about it for a moment. Our parents are the first authoritative people in a child's life. They have delegated authority. God has given mom and dad authority over their son or over their daughter, and mom and dad are there to set the rules and to set the training and to be responsible for the upbringing of that child because God gave them the right to do that. It's not that the government says moms and dads have the right to their own children. It is a God-given right. It's a God-given authority that mom and dad have authority over their children. That's what it means. To recognize their weight is to recognize their authority over you. Now, we get this, right? We understand that parents exercise their authority over their kids. Your kids would want to eat marshmallows and not green beans. And you say, no, you can't have that. You are exercising authority, God-given authority as a mother, as a father, because you're trying to help your son or daughter grow and become healthy and mature and responsible. That's why parents insist that you have rules. You can't stay up late. You can't watch too much TV. You have to exercise. You have to do your homework. It's not that mom and dad are there to try to stifle your fun. Mom and dad are there exercising authority given from God for your own good. Now, what's interesting here is that even Jesus himself understood that. What do I mean? Well, if you open your Bible to the book of Luke, in the second chapter, that's the story where the baby Jesus is born. He's born to Mary and Joseph. We probably all know the Christmas story. Well, what happened? Well, Mary and Joseph, when Jesus was a 12-year-old boy, they took him from their hometown of Nazareth, out of town, down to Jerusalem, the capital city, for the Jewish celebration. And Jesus was 12, and so they went with a group from their town, like a walking convoy. And after the celebration was over, everybody loaded up and packed up and started heading out of town walking. And Mary and Joseph thought that their boy was with them because surely he's with one of his cousins or he's back with the aunt and uncle back, you know, 50 yards back. And so they started on their journey. They went an entire day walking. And then at the end of the day, Mary and Joseph kept looking for their son and they realized he wasn't there. So in a panic, they travel back to Jerusalem to look for their son and they find Jesus, 12-year-old boy, in the temple of God, teaching the religious leaders. And they're fascinated that this 12-year-old boy understands the law and the scriptures. And so after Jesus and his mom and dad have this interaction, Jesus goes back to Nazareth with them. And look at how the scripture describes it here in Luke 2:51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus was obedient to his parents. Now think about that for a moment. Here we already see a glimpse that Jesus understands he is the Son of God. He's super knowledgeable. He's super aware. This is the creator of the universe. This is the guy that understands how DNA works perfectly. This is the man who is the creator of life. He has more wisdom in himself than his parents ever will. If there's anyone that could have said, I know better than mom and dad, it's Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He submits to their authority. He was obedient to them. And why did he do that? He did that because that's what the law of God commands children to do, to honor your father and your mother. And part of that is that you put them in a place of authority over your life. Now, what's the point of this commandment? Honor your father and your mother. Well, up on the screen now, here's the point. I have in my hand a copy of the Heidelberg Catechism. This is a teaching tool that our church has used for centuries. And question 104 in the Catechism, by the way, this Catechism takes you through all of the Ten Commandments and through all the Apostles' Creed. It's a great learning tool to help you grow in your faith. Question 104, what does God require in the fifth commandment? And here's the answer, and it's up on your screen. That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all who are set in authority over me, that I submit myself with respectful obedience to all their careful instruction and discipline, and that I also bear patiently their failures, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. It's a great statement. That's why I wanted you to see it, because it tells us here what it is we need to know and we need to do. Now, think about this for a moment. As a parent, we submit ourselves to our parents as the first authority, and it helps us to begin to, as we go out in the world, to recognize other authority figures like a school teacher, a police officer, a judge, a babysitter. And as we learn to submit and honor and recognize the God-given authority to our parents, we then learn to recognize and respond appropriately to the God-given authority of other people that are in authority. And I think what our country's in the middle of a crisis where people have stopped realizing that God has authority and God gives authority to our government legitimately and to our families, our parents. And people are walking around thinking nobody can tell me what to do. I can do my own thing. And you know what? If I don't like what the government's going to do, let's change it. Let's overthrow it. Let's make it different, because I don't want to submit to the person that's in charge. But yet, what does this say? We learn to show to our families honor, love, and faithfulness to our parents and to all who are in authority, that we submit ourselves with respectful obedience to their careful instruction, and that we bear patiently with their failures. Because our parents make mistakes. Our government makes mistakes. And we deal with that not by quickly attacking who's in charge, but by bearing patiently with their imperfections. So let's think this through for a moment. If this is what our instructions are, how we are to understand this command means one thing to a young person. I look at like Corbin and Reagan here. Honor your father and your mother. What that means for you is you live in their home, you listen to them, you obey them. If they tell you to go to bed, you don't argue with them about it, you do it. If they give you a task to do, clean your room, you do it well because you want to honor your father and your mother. That's what it means for a young person. Now, this command means something different for an adolescent. So if you're a teenager and you're living at home with your parents, you are in the process of transitioning into adulthood where you're no longer under your parents' authority. But while you're still there, you are to respect them, honor them. If they want to give you a curfew and you think, well, Dad says I have to be home at 10, but I think I can be out to 11, you don't argue about it. You respect them. Maybe you negotiate and say, hey, how about we set it at what you want for 6 months, and then if I do a good job, maybe you'll expand it. But it's about you honoring them as an adolescent. Try that with your parents, teenagers, and they will think you've been abducted by aliens. Trust me. If you're an old person, I am 50. I turned 50 on Friday. So this commandment is still applicable to me, but you know, my mom and dad, they don't call me up and tell me to pick up my shoes and or you know, take out the trash. They don't do all that stuff. But this commandment is still applicable to me and to you. If you have parents and you're an adult, that we are to honor our parents. We are to show gratitude to them for what they've done. We are to take care of them as they get older and make sure that they're not neglected. And of course, that means different things in different contexts, but it means that we're invested in saying thank you to our parents in the way we work with them and we pour ourselves into their life. And you know what? This is a commandment that is still applicable even if your parents are deceased. That you want to live in a way that honors them. Conduct yourself in a way that they wouldn't be ashamed by what you're doing. But this commandment's really about whatever stage of life you're in, it's a call to love and respect your parents and to forgive them. I mean, we could probably all stand up and tell stories about our parents and what they did or didn't do or how they treated us or mistreated us. And some of you have had it really rough. This commandment is an opportunity to release that to God and to forgive your parents and not hold on to any grudges at them for what they did or didn't do. So let's talk about this commandment and let's bring it down applicable. Have we broken this commandment? How many of you have ever lied to your parents? Raise your hand. Now, I was asked, I raised my hand high. My mom and dad are here today. I raised my hand high at 8 o'clock, and somebody said, are you going to raise your hand at 10:30 when they're there? No. But I did. Now, they're going to ask me at lunch, so when did you lie to me, John? And I'm going to have to, you know, get out in the weeds today with that. How many of you have ever disrespected your parents? Have you ever done that? Some of you have done it to their face. Some of you, maybe you did it behind their back. You talked to your brother or your sister about how dad's a goober or a moron. He never heard it, but yet you still did it. So maybe you've broken a commandment that way. Maybe you've dismissed your parents when they give you a command or authority. You just kind of, I'll do it my own way. Maybe you've done that. Maybe some of you have even disregarded your parents. What I mean is you don't live with them anymore. You're out on your own. But maybe over life you failed to care for them. You failed to make sure that they were well taken care of to the very end. Maybe today you're thinking about this commandment and you're going, you know, as I think back over my life, I didn't keep this commandment completely. I broke it. And maybe I broke it on many occasions. What do I do? Well, the good news is you can make that right. You can make it right. And if your parents are deceased, you can't go back and apologize and ask for forgiveness, but you can certainly ask God for forgiveness. And if your parents are alive and you need to apologize or to make a confession to them, you know what? They would be happy to have you come in and say, I'm sorry I disrespected you, or I'm sorry I lied to you. Will you forgive me? They would just be amazed at the maturity that you're having in your life, I'm sure. And they would embrace that. But the good news is, friends, God will forgive you. And the reason God will forgive you is that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, kept this fourth commandment, and he kept it perfectly. He kept all the commandments perfectly. He was a truly righteous man, and he died on the cross for unrighteous people like you and me. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we experience from him forgiveness, pardon, new life, new hope. For example, I'm up on the screen under promise. This is God's promise to us. I have Romans 5, 6 through 8. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Maybe you've not lived up to God's standards. Maybe you failed his commandment, but Christ died for you. Paul goes on to say, indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Son of God, who obediently followed Mary and Joseph, also obediently followed his Father in heaven. And he laid down his life so that you and I could be forgiven, even when we've disrespected our parents. So I just want to encourage you today. I think all of us could wrap this up with prayer. Some of you might need to pray and ask God to forgive you for something that you said or something that you did with your parents. But all of us, I think, can stop and pray and say, thank you, God, for my parents, for your using them to help me become who I am today. So I hope that you'll join with me in some prayer for forgiveness and also thankfulness. And then finally, I'd like us to pray for the parents that are in our midst. God has given you tremendous authority over your children, and we want you to raise them well, that in you and their mother and in their father, they can see God on display. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Our Father and our God, I want to thank you for my parents and for all of our parents, living and deceased. God, we thank you for how, in your wisdom, you have created this system where we are born into a world and we are instructed by mom and dad, and it's there that we learn about how to live in the world. We learn about authority, and ultimately prepares us for you. I thank you for our mothers and our fathers. And I pray, Father, that we as children, whether we are 6 or whether we're 60, that we'll be faithful to this commandment to honor our father and our mother. Lord God, I pray for the parents that are in our midst, that they can lead their children well. And I pray that we, young and old, would do honor to our parents and to you by our practicing of this commandment. And Father, if there is someone in our midst today who is wrestling with guilt and regret, I pray, Lord, that that would be washed in their heart, that they would experience the forgiveness and renewal that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We offer this prayer in his name. Amen.